Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Our mouth shall speak your praise, and we give you all the glory. You say, one generation shall praise thy works to another, and we shall tell of your mighty acts. Lord, today, speak through thy word to our hearts, in the mighty name of Jesus. Glorify thyself as always in thy word. Thy word is spirit and is life. And may the word of God that comes this morning be a blessing to every heart. And may the Lord be glorified. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap as you take your seats. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now today, I'm going to be doing a two-part series starting today. Hopefully it won't be longer than two. And this morning, the first part of this is going to be titled Bridging the Generation Gap. Now, I have a few scriptures that I'm going to share with us this morning, and then I'm going to give this message came to me by revelation. And you will have to stay with me and patiently listen to what the Lord has for us this morning. Turn with me, first of all, to Malachi chapter 4, Bridging the Generation Gap. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. Now when the Lord called this church out over a year ago, because the vision was a single vision, but a part of the vision was bridging the generation gap. And I would have wanted to preach a message like this for the last 10 months or so, but the Lord did not allow it until just now. So today I'm going to be speaking on this. A very vital part of this message will be continued next week. And next week it will be something we're moving from the foundation that we're laying this week to what we are going to speak about next week. And by the time we're done, the Lord is going to bless your hearts. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
Malachi 4 and verse 6. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And he should turn the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, there is a generation of the fathers, and there is a generation of the children. And it seems many times like the older generation, sometimes they despise the youth, and the youth, sometimes they resent the older generation. But the Lord, he has a plan that he's going to bring it all together. So I want you to stay with me in this message, and let's see where the Lord is going with all of this. Now, for all of you young people that are here, I want you to listen very carefully to this message, because the Lord has a blessing for you if you will listen. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, and I'm going to read at verse 16. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So it says, stand in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Now I'm going to lay a foundation for this in the good old paths and the ancient landmarks which our fathers have set. So turn again with me to Proverbs chapter 22. And verse 28. Proverbs 22 and verse 28, and it says, remove not the ancient landmarks, see, which thy fathers have set. The ancient landmarks. There is a good old way. There is a way that the apostolic faith was once delivered unto the saints. In fact, in the book of Jude, chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So these ancient landmarks, which the fathers have set, he said, remove it not. We're going to talk about that this morning, and we're going to see where the Lord is going to lead us with all of this. Now, there is a message for the youth in this, and there's a message for the older generation. The Lord has something for all of us together. Now, there will be some things that we will say to the older generation. There will be some things also that we will say to the younger generation. But the message is going to a place next week. There will be a message that we will say to the generation. Now, there's a generation that God is calling out of the old and the new. And this generation will be revealed in Psalms 24. I want you to turn to Psalm 24 with me. Psalm 24. Now, there were many secrets that the Lord revealed to this psalmist. This particular one is a deep, deep revelation. And you may have read this psalm many, many times. I'm going to read it to you this morning, and I'm going to reveal this secret that the Lord wants me to bring out. Now, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Now, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Who? I mean, when the Lord comes, who's going to be able to stand before the Lord? See. And he says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Can you say amen? And righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, this that we're talking about this morning is the generation. Now, notice, generation is singular here. This is the generation of them that seek the Lord, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Now, by the time the Lord brings this generation that the psalmist is talking about here, by the time he brings them to the place where they can stand before the Lord with holy hands and so forth like that, pure and undefiled, without spot and without blemish, here's what's going to happen. It is going to usher in the glory of the Lord, and it's going to bring back the return of the king. How many of you can say amen?
Amen.
Now listen to verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the king of glory shall come in right around the time that the Lord calls out that generation. That generation precedes the coming of the king of glory. Now, who is this king of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now, who is this King of glory? We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the King of Glory is associated right here and is ushered in by the coming forth of this generation, whatever that generation is. This generation of them that seek the Lord, when he finally perfects that one generation out of the old and new together, it will usher in the return of the glory of the Lord, and it will bring back the King of Glory. Now, that's the revelation in the book of Psalms, Psalm 24. You may not have seen it that way, but that's a revelation this morning. Now, that generation, we will be talking about it next week, when we shall declare the generation of the Lord. He says, who shall declare his generation? Say, well, we're going to declare it next week. But today, we're talking about bridging the gap between the old and the new, until we get to one generation that the Lord is looking for. And I'm going to read some scriptures to bear this point out. I want you to listen to me very carefully. There is going to be a message for the young in this, and there will be a message for the older as well. The first thing that we want to do is we want to talk about what God expects from the older generation. What does the Lord expect from the older generation? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And I'm going to start at verse 19. Actually, let me start at verse 18. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18. It says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. And you're going to bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they will be like frontiers between your eyes. And ye shall teach them to your children. This is what he expects of the older generation. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thy house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, and so forth like that. See? So what he expects of the older generation is to command their children to follow the Lord. Here's an example in Abraham. Here's what the Lord said concerning Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. And I'm going to read verse 19. It says, talking about Abraham, let me start at 17, Genesis 18 and 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So Abraham, the father of faith, God testified of him that this Abraham will command his house and his children to follow the Lord. Joshua said in 24 and 15, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. And Abraham, he commanded his children after him to follow the Lord. Now, here's what David said about all of this. David, Psalm 71, and I'm going to read from verses 16 to 18. Now, still laying a foundation for this, but you will begin to get the picture. Psalm 71 and verse 16. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. See? And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. So David is going to give us a picture from youth clear on to when he was old, and what he's going to do even when he's old. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. So David is going to span that generation and make sure that the generation that's coming behind him understands the power of God. He's going to reveal it. He's going to demonstrate it. And he's asking for the Lord to be with him the same as when he was young, until he has shown his power, God's power, to the next generation. Now, so we see from these scriptures that the Lord expects a lot from the older generation to the younger generation. But he also expects some things from the younger generation. Let's see what he expects from the younger generation. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, I want you to pay attention to these scriptures. Mark them down, write them down, study them on your own, because this is the word of the Lord unto us this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I'm going to read at verse 7. Now, Deuteronomy 32. And verse 7. This is what he expects of the younger generation. He says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Ask your elders, and they will tell you. See, now, the Lord is telling you, young people, ask your fathers. And ask your elders. Now, but do we see that today? Oh no. What we see today is sometimes it looks like the older generation and the new generation, they're serving two different gods. The older generation, they want to do one way. The younger generation, they want to do a different way. But that's not the way it is. The Lord says to the younger generation, ask your fathers, ask your elders, and they will tell you. I also want to read from Hebrews chapter 13, number 7. I'm giving all these scriptures so that your understanding of this message will not be in my beautiful speech or whatever, but it will be in the Word of God. Now, Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So, you know, you young people, remember those who have gone ahead, who speak to you the word of the Lord, follow their faith. See, because you've seen how the Lord's moved in their life and so forth like that. So follow their faith, the Bible is saying. Now, here are some direct exhortations to the younger and the older together. Let's see what the Lord has to say to each group. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. There will be some direct commandments to the younger, and there will be some to the older as well. Now, Ephesians 6 and verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, well, do we see them obeying their parents today? Sometimes, but most of the time, no. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to come back to Ephesians chapter 6 in a minute. But let me just quickly read If you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to read one or two verses and I'll come back to Ephesians. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. See? Unthankful and unholy. Now, disobedient to parents. Now, that's contrary to what Ephesians chapter 6 is telling us. Ephesians chapter 6 says in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Verse 2 says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, in order that it may be well with you, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, so, for you to get the blessing that the Lord promised in your life, you younger ones, you must honor your father and your mother. How many of you say amen to that? You must obey your parents in the Lord. But here's what he says to the older generation. Verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. See, because the spirit of the age is angry. See? And the youth, they despise. Actually, the youth resent their parents most of the time, because of the spirit of the age. So the Lord says, the parents, you use wisdom and provoke them not to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. For to the parents and to the children alike, God is speaking this morning. Now, for parents, do not provoke your children. See? That means do not despise them. Don't treat them like babies all the time. Give them some respect. But to the children, he's saying, obey your parents. See, because this is from the Lord. Now, for the children to obey and honor their parents, that's non-negotiable. Children may express their own opinions and do some of these things and so forth, but they cannot disrespect their parents. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? That's in the scriptures. Now, if you hear the word of the Lord this morning and you listen to it and you do what it says, do you a lot of good, because there's some place we're going with this message and it'll be concluded possibly next week. So we see the Lord has a message of relationship between the older generation and the younger generation, because they don't always see eye to eye. But there is something that the Lord wants to do which has nothing to do with whether you are older or younger. In fact, let's see what the Lord says in Acts chapter 2. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read just two verses. We could read the whole chapter, but we don't have time this morning. So I'm just going to read verses 17 and 39. But in Acts chapter 2, the story at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, and everybody thought they were drunken, and Peter stood up and said, these people are not drunken, and this is the promise that God gave, and so forth like that. Now here's what Peter said. Acts chapter 2 and 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now the Holy Spirit, he makes no difference between young and old. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. So he puts everybody in the same boat right there. He's dealing with the young He's dealing with the old. He's dealing with the girls. He's dealing with the boys. He puts it all together. He's not making a separation like people try to do today. You know, the spirit of denomination works in many different ways. You know, this denominational spirit has come to also bring a generation gap between the young and the old. The young say, well, you know, I don't want to have any part with what the older people are doing. And the older people say, well, you know, these young people, they don't have any faith and so forth like that. Well, of course they do. Because by faith, are you saved through faith, through grace? Nobody can be saved except by faith. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Now, God is dealing with all the generations, whether young, whether old. It doesn't make the Lord any difference, the age category that they are in. He knows what he's doing. Let me show you again what the Lord is doing, how he's going to bring these generations together, and how he's, of course, he starts out with the older generation, and he's using them to pass the knowledge and the wisdom and the grace onto the younger generation, and he's commanding the younger generation to look to their elders and learn from them, just like we learn from the apostles, see, the faith that was once delivered to us. See, the Bible says we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and we are told not to remove the landmarks which they have set. So here's another scripture that will help us to understand this even better. I'm going to read a few scriptures real quick. Isaiah 58. And I'm just going to read verse 12. Now for those in the older generation, here's a promise. From Isaiah 58 and verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. And thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called repairer of the breach. See? The restorer of paths to dwelling. And that's what we are doing in this message. Is repairing the breach, bridging the gap between the generations, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, and turning the hearts of the children to the fathers, and bringing out one generation that the Lord is going to bring to the fullness of the nature of Christ. Now, here is what he says in Psalm 145, which we read at the opening this morning, Psalm 145, verse 4. It says, one generation shall praise thy name to another. So it's a continuous, it goes from generation to generation, the praise and the glory of God. Now, in Isaiah chapter 8, I'm going through this real quick, because I don't want to take a lot of time this morning for this message. It's something I'm going to do at the end. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. It says, I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. How many of you say amen to that if you're a parent? That's right. If you're in the older generation, that's the way you need to look at your children. Say they are for signs. They are for wonders. And so forth like that. See, God has established them to speak with the enemies in the gate. See, you'll see that in Psalm 127. God knows that wisdom and knowledge and experience is on the part of the older generation. But strength and youth and vitality are on the side of the younger generation. And when God blends it all together, here's what it produces. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. When he brings it all together, this is what it will produce. He will remove the schism. Amen. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yes, he will remove the schism. And if you still have the schism in your heart, then you don't understand this message. Because here's what the Lord is going to do at the end, when he brings it all together. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. For ye are a chosen generation, one generation. Not two generations. You are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. a holy nation and a peculiar people. Why? That ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. This is the very thing that God promised from the beginning. And even at times when he dies, he says in Amos chapter 9 and verse 11, in the last days, I will raise it up again. I will raise up even the ruins, and I will rebuild the tabernacles of David. And I will do it as old times, and I will bring it back again. Now this is the promise that we have, that God is going to bring back. See, and he is going to fulfill this, but it's going to be one generation, and it's not going to be two. And the younger and the older must begin to recognize this and begin to walk together, because the Lord knows what he's doing, and that's the way he's going to bring it. Now, in the past, and I'm going to give you a preview of next week, in the past God dealt with Israel throughout their generations. He would say, this memorial shall be throughout your generations. This is an offering that you will do throughout your generations. The lamp shall be burning throughout your generations. He would say so many things about generations. But at the end of the age, he's dealing with one generation. And this is the generation of those that seek after the Lord in Psalm 24, that will ascend unto the hill of the Lord. That's like the people that are going up in the rapture. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Sure. They are going to ascend and they are going to stand before the Lord. They will usher in the glory of the Lord. Read that Psalm 24 again when you get home. See, when that generation comes together just right, it will be just before the coming of the Lord. And it will usher in the glory of the Lord and the return of the King. Amen. Oh, I love that. I ought to make you shout. Yes, sir. It is going to bring back the return of the King. That's exactly right. That generation, when they get it all together, you know, it's going to be just like that. Now, but if they are at loggerheads with their children and their parents, it's only going to delay the vision. See? Now, last week we talked about the revival and the things and so forth like that, that has made God sometimes shut down the revival, and how he can restart the revival. See, God, when he says it's done, then he puts it in the hearts of people that begin to pray. See, and God has told and shown that it is time. And we're beginning to pray to seek the Lord, but there are some things. It's like, set your house in order. See, there are some things that God must fix. There are some things that we must do. Just like last week, if my people who are called by my name, there are some things that we must do to bring that real true revival. Now in this message we're talking about the things that the older generation and the younger generation together must understand in order for God to bring them together as one generation. Now the critical part of this message today was just the foundation. The critical part of this message will be next week, if the Lord allows it. And whatever you do, you don't want to miss that message. And if we go from there, we might go to something else that you have probably been waiting your whole life to hear. In fact, the Bible says the whole creation has been waiting for it to happen. And it's never happened until now. Now there is something that has never happened until now. In fact, the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. Everything is the same. But there is one thing that has never happened until now. In fact, the whole creation is waiting for it in Romans chapter 8. It has not yet happened. They are waiting for it. Now this message is leading to that. And we are going to find out how God is going to bring it about. You know, and how it has eluded the generations until now. See, because people are trying to do things Just like the Bible says concerning Israel, he said they are going about trying to establish their own righteousness outside of God's way. See? And so every generation till now, they've tried to do this outside of the way that God wants to bring it. But the Lord is bringing it. And when he does, even the principalities and powers, they will stand in awe. They will be looking. Because the Bible says even the angels desire to look into these things. They don't know how the Lord is going to do it. And it was so great that one time when he revealed how he was going to do it, he told John, seal it up. Don't say anything about it. Don't let the devil get a hold of it ahead of time. See? But God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. How many of you say praise the Lord? You say, eye has not seen, nor has he entered into the heart of man. But God, he has revealed them to us by the Spirit. Now, there is a call to one holy generation. And that's the call I'm going to make this morning. Short message, just to prepare our hearts for next week. Now, whether you are older, in the older generation, or you are younger, in the newer generation, this is the message for you. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Blessed be the name of Jesus. God, when he is finished with his final generation, we will be declaring it next week. And I want you to turn with me quickly to Isaiah chapter 53. And I'm just going to read one line there in verse 8. It says, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Now, that's where we're going with this message. We will be declaring his generation. That one generation of people that is revealed in Psalm 24, that will stand before the Lord. The one generation of people that when God finally brings it together will usher in the return of the glory of the Christ. We're going to be talking about it next week. So whatever you do, you don't want to miss it. But what we are saying today is this. You children, obey your parents. That's non-negotiable. You'll never get older. You'll never get too old, I should say, to honor your father and your mother. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the Bible never said, honor your father and the mother until you become a certain age. Now when you become 16, or 18, or 21, or 24, or 30, or whatever age, then stop. Don't honor your parents anymore. Well, the Bible didn't say that. Say, honor your father and your mother, so that it may be well with you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, as long as your parents are living, honor them. And honor those people that have rule over you too, that have spoken the word of the Lord unto you. That's what the Bible says. Because if you don't, you're going to miss a great blessing. And you fathers, don't provoke them to anger. Deal with them because there's a spirit in the age. See? And you have to use wisdom to deal with them. And so forth like that. But at the end, finally, when God takes all that schism out, when he breaks down the wall of partition that is between the generations, he will bring forth one generation. Oh boy. And the whole creation has been waiting for it. And I'm not going to preach that message today. I'm just whetting your appetite. You know, but one generation. I've been waiting for it. Now, here's something else I want you to go home and think about. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 5. And I'm going to leave this with you for you to think about this. because the Lord will not allow me to say any more about this until next week. But here is the thing I want you. I'm going to read two verses. One from Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. And then I'm going to read one from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. And then we will pray. And next week, so help me God, if the Lord allows, we will bring the message and you will begin to understand what the Lord is doing. Now, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Now, notice, generations is plural. How many of you know there's an S after generation? Can you see it? If you can see it, say amen. Now, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made him man, and so forth like that. So the generations of Adam. And those generations proceeded from Adam until Christ. But when Christ came, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, this is where we'll be going. I'm just going to leave this for you to think about this. When Christ came in Matthew chapter 1 verse 1, now it says, the book of the generation, singular, of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has no ending. Praise ye the Lord. He has an eternal priesthood. It continues forever. See, nothing comes after him. So it's a single generation from the point of Jesus Christ on. It's not like Adam where there were generations and he was dealing with them in generations. Now he's going to deal with them in a single generation. Now, and finally, I want you to know one thing. That all of this that we are talking about is for us to understand what God is doing at the end of the age. You say, well, what is God doing at the end of the age? Well, Genesis 1 verse 17. So all the generations, plural, from Abraham to David are 14 generations. Now he knows what he's doing. And from David unto the carrying away into Babylon were 14 generations. He knows what he's doing again. And the carrying away unto Babylon, unto Christ, are 14 generations. See, so he's got all those 14 generations in those different segments. But when Christ came, that's the last generation. Oh my. If you only understand this message, but you will next week. See, that last generation began with Christ, and it will end at the translation. How many of you say praise the Lord? Now, we're not talking about the generation that you're thinking in your mind here. We're talking about something else. You know, every time the scripture would say something, but it has two different meanings most of the times. But we're talking about something extraordinary, something unique, something that God is doing, which requires for us to understand it, so that we can set our house in order, so you won't be walking against God. See? Now, if you don't understand this, especially you young people, you'll be walking against the Lord. Because you think the Lord's going to do something new that's different than what he was doing before. It's the same thing. It's a continuing spirit. That's why he said, stand ye in the ways and seek for the good old way. See? Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The good old way, the good old paths, do not remove the ancient bad marks. And here's the way that Paul puts it. And I love to read this sometimes, you know, just because, you know, it gives me the goosebumps sometimes. In Acts chapter 24, here's where the way Paul puts it. In verse 14, he says, For this I confess unto thee, concerning this good old way. See, after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. The good old way, believing all things. See, you can't just choose what to believe. How many of you say praise the Lord? Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now that's the good old way. The good old way is to believe all things. Even it might seem like heresy to some people. See? But Paul said, well, I don't care if it seems like heresy to some people, but that's the way I believe. It's the good old way. All things that are written in the scriptures. Everything that God ever spoke. Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How many of you understand this message this morning? Let's give the Lord a hand clap if you do. Some of the greatest and deepest mysteries in the Bible were spoken by Jesus himself. But he used very simple words. Jesus never preached any great philosophical messages with great big words that people could not understand. His messages were always bread, stone, leaven, fish, scorpion, house, corn, wheat, leaven, and all of these things, bread, and so forth. He used very simple words, but the messages were very deep. And we've used very simple words this morning. The Lord told me, just keep it simple so that all may understand. Don't preach no big, great mysteries because it won't do anybody any good. Just keep it simple. Now, we've kept it simple this morning. And I'm going to challenge every one of us. If you have understood the message, there is coming one great army. One generation, both young and old. Say, this promise is unto you and to as many as whom the Lord your God shall call, young and old alike. That's Acts chapter 2. The Lord just reminded me I was going to read that, but I didn't read it. Verse 39. Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children. See, so he puts it all together, the young and the old. So the promise, it's not two promises. It's not one for the old and one for the new generation. Or the younger and the older, you know. It's the one promise. This promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now, many of you here this morning that you haven't done your part. Fathers have provoked their children. Children have disrespected them. Parents. But the Lord said this morning, set your house in order, because he's bringing one generation, no schism in that body. He's bringing the generation that will stand before the Lord with holy hands, and that we ascend to his heel. Now let's stand to our feet this morning. That's the end of the message for today right there. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to pray. Now you say, well, should preach to us some great big mystery. This is that great big mystery. And when we are all finished, you will find out. See, there was something so significant that even heavens were silent. There was something even so significant that John couldn't write it. He was forbidden to write it. It is something that has never taken place, but it is going to happen. And you are the generation. How many of you say praise the Lord? Oh yes, sir. We are the generation. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. You know, one time one man in the Bible, he said, Lord, you know, he prayed, he fasted, he sought the Lord every day with prayers and fastings, and he said, I'm not going to die. The Holy Ghost told him, until you have seen the Lord Christ. See? Now, my prayer is, especially for those who are in the older generation who are here, see, because God is not a respecter of persons, as we spoke last week. If you make any issues about anything, God will shut it down. Because He wants to get the glory by Himself. See? And every revival, finally, when they didn't give Him the glory, He shut it down. See? And He knows what He's doing. But when they give Him all the glory, the King will return. How many of you say praise the Lord? Oh, my prayer is for this generation, you know, the old and the young, to blend together into one generation, the one that God is looking for. That's the final generation that the Holy Spirit will wave before the Lord as a wave offering. Well, He presented to Himself, the Bible says, spotless and blameless. Let us pray this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, one body, one nation, one generation that will seek the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for these words that we have spoken this morning straight out of your word. I pray, Lord, for wisdom and understanding in every heart. Now, for you fathers, don't provoke your children. And for you children, if you have been disobedient to parents, that's the spirit of the age. Now, be careful now. See? Be careful. Don't be disobedient to parents. Don't let that spirit of the age come over you. Don't resent your parents. And you children, and you fathers and so forth, don't provoke them. I mean, let's all, you know, we're all in this thing together. How many of you know that's true? Sure. God has only one generation. It's the Lord, and then all of His children. Amen. You know, some people say first and third and fourth generation. You know, you might say, if your name is John, you might say John the first, and then John the second, and John the third. Because of many generations, the father, the great father, grandfather, and then the father, and then the children, and the great grandchildren, and so forth. Well, for the Lord, it's only one generation. It's Jesus and everybody else. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And if you look at it some other way, it's the Lord and all His children, Jesus Christ Himself, being the first of that generation. So that's the other way to look at it. Now, Father, we thank you, Lord. Help us in the unity of the faith this morning in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says, together, a mighty force in the name of the Lord. Make the vision plain so that they may understand it. But we try to make it plain in simple words this morning, Lord, that there is coming one generation that the Lord is calling out of the old and from the new, blending together into one. Give us all, Lord, the spirit of humility. The fathers to be humble. The children to be humble. That together, Christ might be all in all. How many of you say amen to that? Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Oh yes. I want us to do something for me this morning. For the Lord, actually. Now, I want all over this auditorium, I want us to break up into families. We've done this before. Let's break up into families. And if you are not here with your family, I'll stand with you right here. Everybody that's in families, break up into families. Husband and wife and children. If you're here with your families, just find them. Find your children. Children, find your parents. Husband, find your wife. And let's break up into families. And those of you, if you are here without your family, we'll form one group out here in the front. Anybody who's here and their family is not here, either they are not here or you're single or whatever, you come out here in the front. Come out here in the front. And we're going to do this. Oh yes, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now the Lord, He knows what He is doing. And the family is such, is so important. It starts there. This message goes way beyond that, but it starts right there. Children must honor their parents. The parents must not provoke their children. So we're going to do some healing this morning, bringing it all together. And then it goes from the families, it goes to the church, it goes to the called out ones, it goes to the, that one generation that the Lord is calling out. Now I want every family begin to pray. I want you to join hands in each family. Just join your hands, form a circle or whatever, and just begin to pray. Yes. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, if you are the head of the family, you are the man.